Hi, this is Mike.
And Nathan.
And this is the Third Option Podcast.
This podcast is for individuals who are seeking biblical truth in a noisy, chaotic world of opinions and points of view. Every day we hear politicians, pastors, coworkers, family members, neighbors, and the internet tell us how we should think and what to believe.
Our goal is to give you a third option based on the ancient truths of the Bible. Welcome to this week's podcast. Welcome to this week's podcast. We are in a new location. We keep getting kicked out of places. No, I don't think we were kicked out, but they needed the room. So yeah. We are now upstairs.
For a good purpose.
That's right. In the Shepherd's Building in Woodland. We just keep kind of moving around. So it's kind of hard on these audio levels, you know, to get things figured out. So what's this week's podcast about, Nathan?
Well, we're doing a holiday special, of course, for Easter.
It's been a while since we've done a holiday.
Yep. Yeah, it has been.
Yeah.
I think Christmas was the last
one. Yeah, I think so. Yep.
So, we're doing Easter. And all right. What are some Easter, memories? Or what's sort of today's take on Easter? Yeah. Like, what happens today?
Well, I grew up in a worldly family, so I know all about Easter okay. and what the world would do.
Okay.
I remember Easter being exciting because the first thing we did was an Easter basket in the morning. We had to go find it in the house.
Okay.
Each one of us got clues, and it was hidden. If we found our brothers, we didn't grab it.
Oh.
Well, we kind of gave them hints where it was at, and then we'd always have a breakfast, and then we would... I don't know if we did the Easter egg hunt on the same day.
Okay.
But we'd always participate in some Easter egg hunt in our local town. And then we'd always have a big lunch or dinner time with family.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our Easter. And the truth is, I had no idea Easter had anything to do with Christianity until I was an adult. So it's kind of embarrassing, but it's the truth.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that if you know of the holiday as a kid as like finding eggs and like finding things.
Yeah.
It's like a search day where you get to seek and find.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. I mean,
and, yeah.
I didn't really, in a way, it was like, it was awkward when Easter came up when I started attending church because it wasn't the same holiday. But it kind of is, though, too.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of families, even though they celebrate Christ, they still celebrate the earthly. You know, the Easter. I mean, we still give our kids baskets.
Yeah.
But it's like more of another time to give them a gift.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, yeah, that is what kind of happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Easter growing up, and we had Easter baskets. Mm. Now, we didn't have to search for them. Like,
okay.
That sounds interesting that you guys had to wake up and
had to go
there's a
for
hunt
them.
For the basket, and then you have the egg hunt later.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, were there, like, prizes inside your baskets when you found them? Is it just the basket?
It was just the basket. It had candy. It had eggs.
Okay,
it
so
had
there
toys.
Were, okay.
Oh, yeah. It
so
had
there
goodies
were stuff.
In it. Definitely.
In it. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, ours was just, you know, there. You didn't have to search for it, but yeah, growing up, you knew that Easter had to do with Jesus, though. Like, because I grew up in a Christian household, like, you knew that it had to do with Jesus. Now, where the, like, egg thing and the gift basket and, like, the fake hay grass and stuff and the rabbit fit into that, you know, you weren't really sure, but... Lots of things are weird as a kid, and you just roll with it, you know, because that's what everybody does. There wasn't, like, a lot of thought, you know, for me into, like, the rabbit thing, you know. It was just, like, this was just a small part of Easter, because you knew you were going to go to church, and there was going to be a big deal, you know, about that.
Yeah, I was no Keister. Like,
okay.
I hear about Keister. My wife was one. She said that was... She went to church on Easter and Christmas.
Yep.
Because I asked her, that was the question I asked her. I said, did you know anything about Easter and Christianity being one of the same. And she said yes. She knew, at least knew that. I didn't even know that. I had no idea.
Okay, yeah.
But Jesus wasn't talked about in our household. I mean, we might have referenced God. Sometimes we'd pray to God.
Yeah.
You know, this stranger of the cosmos. Yep. We didn't know anything about him, but we knew there was a God.
Yeah.
And that was...
There was some supreme being.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
If you didn't... Yeah, definitely if you never went to the church part, I don't see how you would know that it has anything to do with Jesus.
Right, because you go to school, and in public schools, it's nothing to do with Jesus.
Yep. You'd be like rabbit... It's rabbit egg day, which even that's like
super it's really weird.
It's like, what? What is
always strange?
Yeah, rabbits don't
even
steal
trying to
eggs.
Like justify or even understand what was the culture doing. Like, what are they trying to do with this rabbit, this the Easter bunny?
Yeah,
like when did that? I don't, we should have looked it up.
Yeah, we didn't cover that at all.
No, we try to focus on the actual like Christian part of Easter and the importance of it.
Maybe that'll have to be a future one.
Yeah.
Future one we do. Like, where the rabbit and the egg thing. Because I've heard stuff before, but I would like to actually look into it. To really research and see what...
No idea.
What comes up. Because it is super strange. Like, why is it like a hide-and-seek holiday? Like, that's even strange.
I don't know.
You're, like, going to hide-and-seek and find stuff. Yeah. Like... Yeah, eggs and rabbits.
See, and when I went to the park, I was always at a disadvantage being a chubby kid.
Oh,
like, all the skinny, fast kids would get to the eggs before me, and I remember being so sad. Like, man,
I can't win anything.
It was so unfair.
Oh, man.
Luckily, my parents loved me and gave me a basket full of goodies, but I never wanted the big prizes, you know, because they'd be like golden eggs, but only like the quickest of kids would get the golden egg.
Yeah.
Or the smartest or the most cunning. Because you'd have to like climb a tree to get one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I definitely didn't get anything cool like that ever. Yep.
Oh man. So I would say, you know, a lot of that is probably for most people, Easter, you know, a little bit of those things. And there is like a lot of you know, wonder or sometimes hearsay thrown in of like why certain things are the way they are. But so if we're going to kind of look in the scriptures and then kind of look at the early church. So this is going to be kind of a bit of a history, you know, episode here. So might get boring.
Those are my favorite. This is my favorite podcast is when we start going through history. Coolest stuff because we don't know this. Some reason this information like,
Well, it's not necessarily in the Bible. Like, that's one of the things we'll go over here is that it's not necessarily in Scripture to have Easter and kind of talk about why it happened. You know, why is there Easter today?
Yeah.
And I think that's why, you know, it doesn't get talked about much because it's not in the Bible.
But then why do we celebrate? You know, like, the fact that we celebrate it so religiously every year and it's really important, it's surprising that maybe there wouldn't be a history lesson of the why. I mean, we know why we celebrate it. But, you know, there's a lot of things in Scripture that are super important that we don't celebrate as a holiday. So this one is like the biggest one, and it is the biggest event. This is the most important event. This is everything.
Yeah.
You know, the resurrection is huge.
Big event.
I mean, it means everything when it comes to our Christianity. So the main theme for today is going to be talking about Jesus' resurrection.
Yes. So we're going to start with kind of the seeds of why this holiday is going to be come about. And this, of course, is the resurrection, as Mike just said. And the resurrection is talked about constantly.
Yeah.
Throughout the New Testament. But we have like a list here in front of us of just all the times it's used in Acts, and it's all the time. The early church is constantly talking about the resurrection, over and over and over. And so you can see this throughout Scripture. The resurrection is a big, big, big deal.
Yes.
Because this means Jesus does have what he says, right? He does have eternal life. He does have power over death. If he doesn't rise from the dead, then there's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you got nothing. So, yeah, this is the biggest point, is that, yes, Jesus rose from the dead and he walked around.
Yeah.
Right? He meets with people, talks with people. There's tons of witnesses to this. And so this is constantly proclaimed. And, you know, the proof is set for it. And so, yeah, so throughout Acts, you'll constantly find this as something that they are preaching and talking about constantly. And so this is a huge deal in human history, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody rose from the dead.
Mm. Yep.
Right? That doesn't happen. When people are dead, they're dead. Mm-hmm. They don't come back. And so this guy, Jesus, comes back from the dead.
Right.
And he was preaching to everybody that he could bring us back from the dead. Mm-hmm. And so now you have this new hope in world history that you can be brought back from the dead.
Yeah.
That death isn't the end, and that you can have life, and he offers life everlasting. And so this is obviously going to be a huge focal point of Christianity.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing hinges on that. If Jesus didn't rise, then our faith, you know, is void. It's worthless. And Paul makes that point, mm-hmm. right? If this didn't happen, there's no point.
Yeah.
Right? So it's obvious through the emphasis you see in Scripture and throughout how the early church will keep carrying on this, this belief and this tradition that it's going to become Easter. I mean, you start having the Lord's Day first. So this is, on Sundays is now the new time where Christians meet, and the reason they meet is because that's the day Jesus rose. And so everything is already from the get-go being centered around the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
It's pivotal.
And for us, I think we all find the resurrection important, but I don't think we get it as much as the authors do, because they lived a life without Jesus or the resurrection. Mm-hmm. They knew what life was like before this event.
Yeah.
And then this event happened. Some of them witnessed this event. Mm-hmm. Some of them heard about it. I mean, with Paul, he didn't witness the event, but mm-hmm. Jesus came and spoke to him after the event, a mm-hmm. resurrected Christ,
yeah.
who now lives as, I don't know, what do you refer to him as, a spirit or...
Yeah, he's resurrected in the flesh.
So Paul met with the resurrected mm-hmm. Christ. Mm-hmm. So you have all these examples of all these people who have met with the resurrected Christ. Now they're writing about it. So this is part of their like evangelism. This is part of like they use the word like witness, like when they were speaking. So when they spoke to others, the resurrection was always part of their language.
Mm-hmm.
It was pivotal of who Jesus was. Compared to any other religions, it's the only religion you really are going to know that has a man who came to earth, died, and resurrected, and now is alive.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
So that's why it's so important. And then we'll go through some of these verses here.
Yeah, I mean, if you saw somebody raised from the dead,
yeah,
it would be a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. You saw him die and then rise, or literally he came and visited you.
And we're not talking about, like, he passed out or, like, his heart stopped mm-hmm. beating for a couple minutes or something, you know, and he came back, or he was in a coma or something.
Yeah.
This is somebody's dead, right?
Yep.
Dead for 3 days, and then they rise. Okay? Yeah. That doesn't happen. People don't die for 3 days and then come back out of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, if that happened... it would change your life.
I mean,
you couldn't come back. You know, you would be totally different from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
So going on from there, we talked about the Lord's Day, how right away you have Sunday as the Lord's Day. This is going to be the meeting day. And this is because Sunday is the day that Jesus rose. And so that starts off. Well, then you got to think, by the next time the next year comes, for instance, what are you going to be thinking of at Passover, which is the Old Testament feast when Jesus had the Passion Week, you know, then was crucified, rose from the dead. That's during the Passover feast. So we got to think back to the early church being mostly around the Jewish people groups. So their mentality is, okay, Passover's coming. What are they going to remember happened on Passover again? They're going to remember the resurrection. I mean,
yeah,
that's what you're going to be thinking if you're the early church Christians every time Passover comes. You're going to be thinking about, oh, yeah, Jesus. Well, it's not, oh, yeah. I mean, it's on the forefront of their mind, but Jesus rose from the dead. Remember how amazing that was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're going to be thinking about every Passover. And that's going to definitely trump, you know, what was before for Passover, as when God passed over the Israelites in Egypt. Not that they wouldn't look at that as bad or something. They're not going to look down on it. But it's going to pale in comparison to this event in history where now there's eternal life and you can have that hope. That's going to become the foremost thought to the early church Christians as they're leaving kind of this culture of Judaism and transitioning into this Christian tradition that's going to start to sprout. So it makes plenty logical sense that Passover is just, or that Easter is just inevitably going to happen. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, of course, I don't see how it couldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Like to not have any memorial to that event would seem bizarre. And so it's going to happen. And so over time, very shortly, this is Passover and Pentecost are some of the earliest traditions that we have. So you have the Lord's Day, I guess, if you want to count that. So like Sunday, Christians meeting on Sunday is probably the earliest, the absolute earliest. Then you would have Pentecost and Passover or Easter happening very soon after that. I mean, and Passover and Pentecost were already Jewish holy days. Okay. So this also is why it was
What was Pentecost before?
So this is the Feast of Weeks. It's like a harvest festival that they would have. Pento would be for the 50 days after. So that's why they call it Pentecost.
Yep.
But so these were already Jewish feasts and festivals.
Yeah.
So this is why it's so easy for this transition to happen for Christians, because if they're coming from a Judaism culture, this is just inevitable. You know, going to happen. And Pentecost is going to be a big deal because it's the birth of the church.
Yeah.
You know, so so this is when the Holy Spirit comes, you know, upon the apostles and the little flames of fire over their heads and stuff like that during Pentecost. And so this is obviously another huge event. And so this is why it's real easy to see why these would become memorial days in Christianity.
So why is that not a huge event in Christianity?
Well, we'll get to that in another episode.
I had to ask the question.
So, in the this is a good point to kind of bounce off that. In the early church, Passover or Easter and Pentecost, these were thought as a season to the early church. This is one chunk of time. It's a big chunk of time, but it's one season called the Lord's season. Okay, for obvious reasons, because it has to do with his suffering, the crucifixion, you're going to go through that Passion Week, then there's like the fasting that comes before the Passion Week, but there's this whole season, then you get to the resurrection, and then you have his time, Jesus' time here in a resurrected body, you know, walking around, meeting with people, all those different sites. Then you have Jesus' ascension, and then you have, you know, the birth of the church. And so this is all one continuous season for the early church. Now today, it's different. It's not really like that anymore. But in the early church, this was a big deal season. This was like the main point of the year for them. So there's another thing to kind of go over with with Easter. So there's a reason I want to keep calling it Passover, but I'm like stumbling here. Was because it was more broken up in segments than it is today. We just call it Easter. And so this is kind of how it was broken up. So you Passover is remembered as when the Lord died. Okay. So there is a first part of it that goes over the Lord's death, which we do too. You know, we'll go over Good Friday, you know, and this will be in remembrance of the Lord's death. And then you have when he rose again, and this part is the part that we would call the Easter part on Sunday. And so they kind of break it up as like two segments in the early church. And now the early church didn't call it Easter. That's the term for us German language speaking peoples, the English and the Germanic tribes. We call it Easter, and that has to do with some of our like pagan old barbarian knowledge. And it was a way for them to the missionaries to connect this idea of resurrection with the sun rising. And so this was called Easter or East, right? And so now you know why on a compass it's called East, because that's where the sun's gonna rise. But, so anyways, so a little trivia. That's why it's called East. So anyways, so around the world, it's not called Easter. You know, that's just for the Germanic speaking peoples, which is us. They would call it by a different name. And usually Pascha would be the name, and Pascha is just the Hebrew word for Passover. And so most other terms are going to have Pascha in it. But for whatever reason, they're like, the Germanic tribes, they can't get that, I guess. They're like, we got to pick something simpler for them. So what do you guys know of? Well, we already celebrate the sun rising.
That's right.
I guess. But anyway, so that's why we call it Easter. But that technically just has to do with the resurrection day. And there's two parts to it. You know, Good Friday is supposed to be equally as important, you know, as Easter. So then you would go on into Pentecost and the birth of the church from there. It would be a slow, gradual thing. But we're going to talk about some of its development throughout the second century and kind of what were the observances or practices of the early church when they were doing this holiday of Easter. And Easter, from very early on, was embraced, like we said earlier, for obvious reasons, right? It's a huge deal. So this was universally practiced by the church all over the Roman Empire. Now, how they would practice it, like the specifics, would differ. And some of the things that would differ during the time leading up to the Passover week, or the Paschal feast, as they would call it, is a season of penance and fasting. And the length of time of this fasting would vary by communities. It could be one day, could be 40 hours, could be 6 weeks. And this would be like a fasting from, it could be from a vice, right? That you're trying to really, you know, hand over to the Lord. And so this would be where the penance part kind of comes into that.
What is a penance?
So penance will develop into multiple things. It's like, by the second century, it's in a continuum of development. But It's this idea that you are going to make amends for something or show, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Okay, remember when John says that, you know, if you really have repented, Pharisees, then show fruit in keeping with repentance. Okay. So this would be that part of it. The idea that you are changing your ways from whatever it is, and you're turning away from that, and you're going to pursue whatever this is, whether it be giving more, or what could be almsgiving, could be different things, more prayer, going to stop drinking alcohol or getting drunk, or, you know, whatever the thing was, you're going to turn from that. And then fasting was probably the majority type discipline done, which has to do with,
you know, so was a lot of Christians participating in fasting and penance?
Yeah, this was big time practice. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They didn't, like, fasting wasn't to them like,
yeah,
oh no.
That's only the radical Christians.
Yeah, no. Yeah, people didn't eat. You know?
Okay.
That's what.
That's crazy.
That's what would happen. Wow. And so, anyways. These would be the different things. So again, some was just a day they would do it for, some 40 hours. It just varied by community. Some were obviously more hardcore, like the 6 weeks thing.
How can you do you 6 weeks? I mean, that's like, that's no insane. Eating.
Yeah, that would be insane.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, they beat out Jesus with that one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's over 40 days, isn't it? Or is that 40? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it would be a lot.
It'd be a lot.
I'm trying to think. I think I know of people
who've done
here who have done 40 days, if not, maybe a little. I'm trying to think how long their record was.
But that's a long fasting time.
It is.
Yeah,
very long. So, anyways, kind of going on from there, they remembered Jesus' death and the resurrection was a time of fasting called the Great Sabbath.
Hmm.
And so that's what they would kind of coin that section of time of Jesus' death to the resurrection day as the Great Sabbath. The evening before resurrection day was a vigil of special devotion, and it was seriously kept by all to stay awake until dawn, until the cock crowed, right?
Yep.
And that was a reference from Tertullian. And this would be in anticipation of the resurrection day, right? You got to stay up till sunrise.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
It's kind of how we treat like New Year's. We have to stay up till midnight.
Yep. And it was also believed by some that this would be the time in the future when Jesus would return.
Hmm.
So this was like, we're staying awake like good servants, right?
Yeah.
And the master is going to find us right. awake and waiting for him. And so that kind of went along with this idea there. But yeah, so it was a big deal, right? The eve before, you know, you'd get out there with your candles and stuff, and you'd be, you know, staying up all night in anticipation for the sunrise service there of Resurrection Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Big deal. Yeah, definitely one of the highlights of your entire year.
Is that when they got their Easter baskets? Was in Sunday morning, like
no
after the
Easter
sunrise?
Baskets.
Oh, man.
Easter baskets. So the other, this is just kind of the way they observed it as we went over, but there was some controversies that arose because of some timing issues.
So they're already battling over theology within like
yeah, it didn't take
100
long.
Years after the death of John, and yep. Oh man,
yeah, it didn't take long. So yeah, so again, we're only in the 100s,
right?
So
yeah,
we're in the 100s AD. So it didn't take long, but so these are known as the Paschal controversies. Okay, And this would eventually become one of the most contentious and divisive controversies of the church of the second century. Okay. Even threatening at times to split it. Right? It was, again, in their mind, this is a big deal, right? Yeah. Easter is huge. I mean, think about it. These people fast like crazy, okay?
Yeah.
Even if it's just a few people who are doing the six-week thing, everybody's though fasting for probably a week, you know, period right. of time, especially during that Passion week. You know, they're definitely fasting in preparation to feast on Resurrection Day. And so this is a big deal. They stay up all night, right, for this sunrise, you know, celebration that's going to happen. It is the pinnacle of their year every year, and it is the hope that you have, you know, that you have eternal life. So there is a lot that was very important and made them very passionate about this. And because of this passion and stuff, this, I think, fed into why they fought, you know, over it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would think, oh, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
like, what does it matter? Yeah. But to them, it was a big deal. And so you have the church is kind of already geographically split, okay, by the second century. You have the east side and the west side.
Oh.
Okay. And the west side is mainly led by the church in Rome. Okay.
Okay.
And then you have the east side, which is led partly by Asia Minor, which would be modern day Turkey. So Ephesus, you know, all those churches, kind of like where Paul went, right?
Yep.
Where all those letters are and stuff like that. That area. Was very dominant, and that's where John was, right? The last soul survivor before he eventually dies. He's over in that area. So there's a lot of, like, pomp and prestige to being in that area. And his disciples, John's disciples, are leaders in that area. So it's a big deal area. Jerusalem is just in a tumultuous situation, it seems like, constantly.
Yeah.
There's going to be a revolt there. Rome's going to completely annihilate the place. And so that's not really necessarily a powerhouse. There's a lot of, like, prestige in that it's Jerusalem, right? That's the birthplace of where this all started.
Yep.
But of, like, a lot of numbers-wise and power, not really big. Alexandria and Egypt is going to become influential, but, you know, not till a little bit later. So you basically have Asia Minor as a powerhouse, and then the church in Rome. And you also, there's other churches in, like, Europe and stuff like that, Southern Europe, that are developing, but it's just not as big necessarily as the church in Asia Minor is. You basically have Rome over there as the real powerful one. But so Asia Minor has their observances. So we're going to go over their observances as to what they did, and then we're going to go over the Roman side. So this would be the west side and what their observances are. And so we can kind of see the differences before we go into kind of why they started to fight. So in Asia Minor, they followed the Jewish chronology, okay? So they're following the months and the calendar of the Jews, okay, which is different than the Roman calendar, okay? So they're following the Jewish calendar, and they also claimed that they're following the tradition that was given to them from the apostles John and Philip, okay? So John and Philip die in Asia Minor. And their disciples supposedly got this tradition from them. So this would seem like pretty weighty in their favor, right? If you were saying this. And so they celebrated Passover on the 14th of the month of Nisan. And they did it with a fast and ended the fast with an agape feast. But so the 14th of Nisan is during March and April. It would be split over those 2 months for us because they follow a moon calendar. And then the 15th of the month of Nisan was a communion or the Eucharist. So they are remembering the Last Supper, with Jesus. Okay. They would do that on the 15th. And this group was called the Quadradeciminians.
Ooh.
Or the 14thers.
I like the Quadradeciminians better. That's an awesome name.
This is what they were called by the other side because they were all about the 14th day of Nisan as being the day when you start.
So this was kind of mocking them, or did they like the name?
No, this was kind of like, I guess, mocking them in a little bit. So it's like, I don't know that it was. No, I wouldn't say it was mocking.
Are you a Quadradeciminian?
Yeah, they were just pointing out that this group is about the 14th.
Okay.
And so that helped explain what their whole belief was, the rest of kind of what we went over. So these guys were the 14thers because they start on the 14th of Nisan and begin their Passover, So they're following the Jewish tradition of when Passover would happen.
Okay.
Now, part of something to help in understanding this controversy is that this follows a moon calendar. Now, we don't follow a moon calendar today. We follow the solar calendar. Okay, and so in the moon calendar, the time at which Passover happens can vary greatly, okay? Mm-hmm. Because it just depends on when there's going to be the new moon, right? When's the cycle going to start over again? And this means that when Jesus rises, if you're following the Passover, that means when Passover ends, and when you would get to, the Good Friday, it wouldn't be on Friday.
Mm.
It could be on a bunch of different days.
Yep.
And then when you get to the Resurrection Day, it's not on Sunday.
Oh, no.
And so that was like the big kicker.
I get it. Yep.
Is like, you got to have it. So the West Side is going to say, you have to have it on a Sunday.
Okay,
that's the day. So the West Side is going to be much more about when it actually happens, okay, versus following the tradition of, this is how the month cycle and the normal festivals happen. They're like, no. It has to be remembered when it actually happened, okay? And so the Roman Church, or the West Side, celebrates Jesus' death always on a Friday.
Always.
The day when it happened, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't change. And
see, I don't even know which one's right now. Like, I wouldn't even know which one to pick.
So this is why the controversy raged for a while.
I can see why they would argue about that. I mean, how important is it? To me, it's not very important. But
yeah, it won't get settled.
I still wouldn't know which one that would be correct. I mean, mm-hmm. We obviously picked the second one, right? Where it's always on a Friday and a Sunday.
Yes, but yeah, we'll see.
We went with Rome.
As time goes on. So eventually, in a couple hundred years, this gets solved.
Oh, that's good.
And one of them wins out. But so the Roman Church celebrates it on the day. So celebrated resurrection always on a Sunday after the March full moon.
Oh.
And then they fasted all the way until Sunday. Can't eat until the resurrection. That was a big thing. You don't eat until the resurrection day, okay? Because this is the time to rejoice when it's resurrection time. The week fast was to commemorate the Lord's Passion. And I don't know if you've heard that. It's called like the Passion Week.
Yep.
And it just means the suffering there. Most churches, though, began to start agreeing with Rome. Okay, as time goes on, most churches start agreeing with Rome. And I don't know if this has to do with just the fact that they grew up in the Roman Empire or not, and that just affects their mindset of, like, they don't really follow the Judaistic, you know, pattern of calendars and stuff, as that's why it didn't really catch. And they were just like, well, yeah, we all follow the Roman, the Julian calendar. Right. So I think it just probably made more sense to everybody.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't really grow up with that tradition, why would you jump to that? Yeah, it makes sense.
It's why we take on the traditions we grow up with. I mean, we don't think about other people's traditions. We're like, oh, we should adopt what Mexico does at this time of year.
Yeah.
It's the American tradition. We just follow the American traditions. Yeah.
And so as the church becomes more Gentile populated, right?
Yeah.
I think this leads to the East kind of losing out on when the time's going to be. And most begin to agree with Rome. However, eventually you do still have, like, Asia Minor, right, around Ephesus holding out, okay? So it's kind of like this one spot holding out in their practice, still doing it the traditional way. And Christians begin to feel, like, embarrassed by this because, like, you would have one side, the west side, for instance, might be remembering Jesus's, like, suffering and, you know, just pain and stuff, while the other side would be remembering his resurrection. And so this would look confusing to the world, and they would be like, what are these Christians? Hmm. Like, who is this weird group? And he's like, they don't even know when they're, you know, their Lord, you know, rose or when he died. Like, they don't even, you know what I'm saying? Like, it would look confusing. Like, they're not really united on what they even believe. And this is supposed to be the big deal that they believe in. They don't even know when to celebrate it. So they can't be right.
Hmm.
You know, you see how that would look bad, you know, to the world and stuff. And the church was really big about unity. So to not look unified, to not be unified in something, was terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, it couldn't, like, to be able to put up with that was kind of hard, because we have to all be united in everything.
I'm glad at some point the church, like, took unity, like, seriously, because now, we kind of lack in unity.
I think we're all pretty different.
The biggest church weakness is unity.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely not the same.
Yeah.
So, one of the famous, like, meeting of the minds about this issue was when Polycarp, who was the disciple of John, and he was the overseer of Smyrna, which is in Asia Minor, and he meets with Anicetus, who is the overseer of Rome. So some big, big players, you know, big church leaders coming together. And they're having a meeting, and this is during 150 to 155 AD. And they end up talking about many things, but they talk about this. Okay, they talk about the Passover. We got to talk about this. And so they didn't agree, even though they had a long conversation. They didn't agree with each other, but they still left peacefully.
That's good.
Okay, they're not going to fight over this. It's nothing that they're going to have caused division. They don't want division. Again, like I said, unity is a big deal. Big deal. And so Polycarp's student Irenaeus writes about this meeting, and that's how we know about it.
Okay.
And Polycarp and his group refused to celebrate with the Roman church while they were there. So they're meeting in Rome at the Roman church. Roman church is celebrating this. Okay, this is during that time, the Passover time. And they aren't going to practice the way the Romans are.
Huh, okay.
And the Romans are like, they could cause a stir. Like, what do you mean? Like, this is what we're doing right now. Why can't you just, you know, celebrate it with us?
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting ready to do, like, the Eucharist, so they're celebrating communion, but Polycarp and them wouldn't do it. They weren't going to do it. Now, the Roman bishop, the overseer there, could have caused a stir, but he didn't. Okay? And he says, fine. You know, if this is not, you know, we're not going to force you to do this. If you guys don't feel like it's wrong or something, we're not going to do it. And so they don't force them. There's no fight, and everything moves on.
This is why they don't make movies about it. Because it could have been.
Yeah, it could have been.
Huge moment. Could
have been a big deal.
Where the church, like, divided. Yeah, because it's
during the time that Rome celebrates it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. But again, they have that Christian mindset, though, of like, we're going to seek peace through, you know, above all. Mm-hmm. We're going to seek unity. And we're not going to let things divide us and tear us apart. So then nothing much happens for a while. There's like a couple little things, but nothing big. The next big kind of altercation is in 190 to 194 AD, where Victor, overseer of Rome, attacks the 14thers.
We know a Victor.
Yeah, we do.
He's not much of an attacker, though. He's a pretty friendly.
Yeah, this Victor is a little bit different in character. Yeah. So this overseer of Rome is not like his predecessor. Apparently didn't get the old character traits that the former ones had. And so he untactfully attacks the Eastern practice. Okay. He's sick of it. He's sick of them practicing this old Jewish way, and so he's like, no, you guys need to get on board with everybody else is doing it this way, and you guys need to do it that way. And so Polycrates, who is the overseer of Ephesus, responds by calling a synod. Now, Polycrates is much like his predecessors, okay? And so this is going to be why this doesn't turn terrible, is because if there were two victors who were like rash and hostile and, you know, I know I'm right and I'm going to make sure you know it. Hmm. If there were two victors, this would have turned out very different and could have split the church.
Yeah.
So Victor is ready to excommunicate the East if they don't do this, right? He's given them an ultimatum that they better turn or we're going to excommunicate the Church of Asia. All you guys are all gone. And so this would have been like the first big schism of the church over this topic, right? Over this thing of when to celebrate Easter. So it didn't happen because Polycrates is like his predecessors and had a far better temperament and character than his Roman counterpart. And he explained in a very humble manner. If you read what he wrote, like, his letter is very, very nice, completely different. He's very, like, humble as to who he is. He's like, I know I'm nothing, you know I'm not this anything, but here's why we do this. And so he's explaining to the Roman overseer why they do the way they do, how they got it, the tradition from John and from Philip and from the elders and all this stuff, as to why they do it that way. So Victor, however, doesn't care, and he's like, I'm still going to excommunicate you guys. I don't care. You guys are the worst. And Irenaeus, Polycarp's disciple, right, steps in, and Irenaeus is an overseer in Lyon, France, okay? And he steps in, and he agrees with Victor, right? He practices the same way as the church in Rome. But he says, hey, how did the elders before us handle this issue? I don't remember them when they met trying to tear each other's heads off. And he points to Colossians 2:16, and he rebukes Victor for his arrogance and poor character shown to the Church of Asia. And Victor listens to Irenaeus, who Irenaeus is a big deal in his time. And so Victor lets off, and he makes peace.
Wow.
And so
it's surprising he actually took the rebuke and didn't just say, you're excommunicated, it's over.
Yeah.
Especially when someone comes and confronts you, who's less than you, probably, in power.
Well, yeah, I mean, Irenaeus was well known.
Okay.
For sure, yep. But Irenaeus was also kind of on his same side, and so it's kind of one of your own telling you, hey, you're out of line in like what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're taking this way too far. And so Irenaeus was the peacemaker in that situation, and the church didn't divide. Now, this eventually, over time, everybody favors the Roman way, the Roman time schedule of when to do this. And in the Council of Nicaea in 325, right, the big council meeting where a lot of things, you know, get established and stuff, it becomes established that this is going to be the observance, the Roman way. And by then, nobody's practicing it, you know, any other way, so it's not a big deal, you know. And so it was an easy thing to solve by that time. And so this is, however, people kept practicing it for a long time, but throughout history, calendars change, and so this was not the end of the dilemma. But we're not going to go into that because it kind of keeps going on a little bit. Here and there, you know, as calendars change over time, stuff comes up. Now, today's practice, so coming into today, you have the Protestants that followed the Gregorian calendar, which was instituted by Pope Gregory, thus the Gregorian calendar. Gregory.
Nice.
So Pope Gregory the 13th in 1583 AD, and thus followed the Roman Catholic Church's observance. So we followed the Roman Catholic way of doing it.
Okay.
So the Orthodox Church, which this would today also be the Eastern Church, they follow the previous calendar before that. So remember, the calendar we're following only started in 1583. So it's actually kind of new.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't been around for a super long time. So before that, you followed the Julian calendar. So this would be like the church in Rome. This is what they're following. And this was started by Julius Caesar, thus the Julian calendar, and therefore have the observance on a different day on your calendar. So if you look at your calendar today, you'll see two Easters.
What?
Yeah, you'll see Easter, and then the week below. So I think this year it's on the 21st.
Okay. Yeah, ours moves around, right?
Yeah. Yep. And so, because it's got to be on a Sunday, and it's got to be after the moon. So it'll be on the 21st, I believe, and then the Orthodox Easter. So you'll see it the next week below on the next Sunday.
It'll be
on the 28th.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's always two Easters on your calendar if you look, but we usually don't.
I'm going to have to look.
Yeah,
because I don't know if I believe you.
You should do it.
I'm going to my Google calendar right now, Nathan.
You should do it.
You keep talking. I'll tell you if you're right or not.
I checked my calendar at home.
Holidays in the United States.
The Orthodox calendar.
We are going into. We got Easter Sunday is the 21st.
Yep.
And that's the only one that's coming up on mine, so.
Hopefully people listening at home have a physical calendar.
Yeah, you guys, check your physical calendar. Google, obviously, is biased, and they've picked.
It was like, nobody Orthodox.
That's right. They don't like the Orthodox Google. People.
Yeah, I checked my Peanuts calendar.
Your Peanuts calendar.
And,
okay.
On the 28th, the Orthodox.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's why there's two different ones. If you're ever wondering why there was, it's because the Orthodox Church is still following the Julian calendar. Still holding out, holding out strong. So anyways, third option view.
Boom. What is the third option view after all of that? Like, how do we celebrate Easter?
How do we celebrate?
So first of all, what's good is celebrating Easter is really legit. Like, it's like the holiday we definitely should celebrate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no doubt in our minds we should do it. But then the question of how, I don't know how much it matters when, as long as we do it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I would say there's some early church traditions that we should probably incorporate into our holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Just some good things. There's you know, just the celebration part of it, to understand this is a celebration of what happened. So it's not just an event, a somber event, a religious event that we show up to. Mm-hmm. Like, truly, we're celebrating the resurrection.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. And then fasting and penitence. I can't say that word.
Penance.
Mm-hmm. Like, so fasting, yeah, the big scary thing that Christians tend to not do, but it's talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be a good challenge. We aren't talking 40-day fast, but give yourself, you know, even if it was, I thought it'd be neat to, like, start fasting at noon on Saturday and then go until the meal, like, after church the next day or something.
Yeah.
So then you have, like, that big feast, whenever mm-hmm. it's going to be, to have a feast. And that's the other one, is feasting. And most people already do that, I think. They get together yeah. with families oh,
yeah.
and eat.
Yeah.
But yeah, to incorporate fasting, penance and feasting
mm-hmm.
would be some good things to add to your,
yeah,
the time of Easter.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, it's just to take it, you know, with the seriousness that they yeah. had. Now, we talked about, like, them fighting over it, and that was obviously not the right thing to do, mm-hmm. but the reason they fought about it is because it was so serious to them.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's missing from us today, is the seriousness and, like, just the importance and the excitement of it.
Yeah.
I think that's something that's very much missing from today's view mm-hmm. of Easter. You know, what if it was a season, right? What if we were like, oh, yeah, gearing up to the Lord's season? You know, like, it's a big yeah. deal. Instead of just, you know, kind of talking about a day you just wake up, get some candy,
yeah,
go see sing some songs in church, you know, dress up, and then go eat. And that's kind of it.
Yeah.
You know, it was a huge deal,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think we're just missing kind of that fervor, kind of that devotion, you know. I think just in general, we don't like to be devoted to much, right? We don't really like sacrificing for things.
Yeah.
And it's like, if this was really a huge deal, I mean, someone literally rose from the dead.
Yeah.
And this person said he was God and that he can rise us from the dead too.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Yeah, I think because this is just something we always hear and we know,
mm-hmm.
it loses that excitement.
I think so.
Because it's just like, of course Jesus died and rose again.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been part of our reality mm-hmm. in life. There was never the moment that happened. It was part of the past. We know it happened,
mm-hmm.
where the early church, they had people they knew who experienced it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, up to the second century now, but, you know, yeah. when you get, like, the first, even the, you know, you talk about, like, the earliest, who's this individual we've been talking about? John's disciple, Polycarp.
Polycarp?
Yeah, Polycarp knew John, or I'm sorry, yeah, John, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So, and yep. John experienced the resurrection. He was there. You know, he saw mm-hmm. Jesus die,
yep.
and he saw Jesus rise.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was so real to them that I'm sure, I don't know. I think it would just yeah. bring a different type of emotion to the situation.
I think so. Yeah, being so close to it, I think, would definitely bring a different nuance to it that is hard for us to grasp.
Yeah.
You know, today, being 2,000 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thinking of, like, them taking, you know, a week off as you're getting ready, you know, a week's worth of different things, building up to the death and then the resurrection of your week, you know, would people do that? Would people say, I've got to use my vacation days for, you yeah. know, the Passion Week?
I don't know if they would.
Because we've got a...
And it sounds like it was much more than that even after that, right?
Yeah.
This was a time of the year yep. of celebration between yep. the moment of the resurrection mm-hmm. and the church birth.
Yeah. Yeah, so the resurrection is just the kickoff.
Yeah.
You know, it's the big deal. It's a big deal, and it's definitely the huge focal point. But yeah, it's the kickoff into the celebration time. So you got this big period of fasting, and then now it's time to celebrate, because resurrection, we now have eternal life, birth of the church, Ascension, like all these awesome things.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, go get them, you know.
Hmm.
But, yeah. All right.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. There are hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there, but you chose to listen to ours.
If you have any questions, concerns, or ideas regarding our podcast, please try to email us at biblicalogic@gmail.com. That's biblicalogic@gmail.com.
If you like our podcast, share it with a friend or give us a like wherever you are listening.
Keep fighting the good fight of faith, and thanks for listening to the Third Option Podcast.